Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Keep thyself pure. Please sit down. Now, many years ago, so sometimes we need to run through matters like this. And many years ago, and I think some of us who have been in church for a while remember this or will know this. Whenever we come to church on Sunday, whether it was in our old churches, Anglican, Methodist, the service was packaged in such a way that you were being discipled. All right? So many of those churches, you would have what we refer to as Sunday school. Am I right? And you have teachers, and I think at some point you're allowed to ask questions. Then we have a Sunday school coordinator who will go up and say, round up, round up, round up. That's the Then there's going to be the Sunday school coordinator will now do a kind of summary and bring everybody together. Then we'll go into praise worship, right? Now, it felt very boring in some ways, not for people like me anyway, because I was one of the teachers, which means I get to preach every Sunday. Amen. So, but you know, that was one of the areas where young talents were being discovered. It was from one of those settings that I was recommended to go for pastoral training. So today, we really don't do much of that anymore. But we now look at the result. You see, those are our parents. They don't know the kind of Bible we peddle. But you see them, they are still faithful. Many of our parents, they still wake up in the morning, very early in the morning, and they go to church. Some of them are still members of the workforce in their churches. They are very consistent. Their friends are still people in the church. You can go to some of these churches and you will see a woman who has been in the music team, the choir, for 25 years, 30 years. And they are still there. God's plan is not to use you and dump you. If you were in the choir, a member of the choir, at the age of 15, becoming a mother and having 3 children doesn't qualify you to be dumped. Are you with me? What I'm saying is that God will always have a use for you. There's always somewhere for you to serve in God's house. And being useful in God's house is a personal decision. If you say you are too busy, you are right. If you say you will create time, you are also right. But one of the beautiful things about the local church, like as we gathered here this morning, is that the local church becomes like a central point where everybody can be involved in one way or the other in advancing the gospel. For instance, at the end of this service, I know this because I spoke to some of these people. There are people from other churches. We still go back to our online platform to listen to the message. I've seen pastors' wives who cannot be here in this church today because they are pastors. I mean, they want to leave where they are pastoring, because according to them, they are not growing. The pastor said he's not growing spiritually. So what about the people he's preaching to? Huh? It is a rare privilege, and that's why for me, I try my best to take this job seriously, because I don't know. There might just be someone. I've heard people who have reached out to me personally and said, after, because of the time zone, they have to wake up in Canada to join this service. People from Hong Kong. I mean, people, the ones I've spoken to, huh? Austria, Switzerland. But you know, all of that would not have been possible without a solid media team. and the technical team, sound. You can clap for them, please. And all of that would not have been possible without even the ushers, the choir, the music team, the children pastors, our head of team. Which other team now? Where am I living? Facility, amen, praise God. So, pastoral care. So, when you watch a service online, you must understand that the pastor is just one piece on that chessboard. If somebody watches the service and gets blessed and is not having glitches and all of that, people say, oh, the pastor is anointed. But is it really the pastor alone? No. What about the prayer team? All right. So that's why I said anything you do in the house of God is one of the ways through which you can contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. And please, you must know that you are not really doing God a favor. When you serve in his house, you are doing yourself, you are only making yourself appear to be responsible. All right? Because if I travel home now, I mean, I know my age, I have 3 kids. Huh? But if I go home now, my mom lives alone. I'll wake up and sweep. All right? I will sweep. I will join her in the kitchen. All right? Or worst case, I will tell her, before I get there, get someone around the area to come clean the house and I'll pay. So it's just responsibility. It's not a sign that you are matured when you are not serving in your local family, local church. You are not matured. You are just, let me not use the word, but I want you to think about it. And for some of us here, we have been, even when we are not born again, we've been serving in church. Some of us joined the choir. We can't even remember. we just woke up and found ourselves in the choir. So these are some of my meditations, and I hope someone is blessed by it. I mean, this is not a conference, this is a family. So we are not going to behave as though we are in a conference. My goal is that if someone stays in this church for 10 years and goes as, you know, relocates or moves to another city, when you plug yourself into a church, they should look at you and say, wow, where are you coming from? You are well taught. You are well taught. That's it. Then my job is done. Not that you get there and begin to analyze the pastor's message. He did not quote First John. That statement he should have used. They are not here. Amen. So today, I want to teach on a very short study, straight to the point. My note is here. That's why I can sit down. The 5 purposes for the laying of hands over a believer. Now, you need to know this. Ordinarily speaking, this would have been something for a believer's conference. But I just thought about it. When I started hearing about this, I heard these things on Sunday morning. There was no conference. In fact, if there was anything we had in those days, it was retreat. Believers retreat, discipleship retreat. In fact, in those days in Deeper Life, while we are at home December 25, saying that Merry Christmas, we were on a long retreat to make you more like Christ. All right? So, and we still give water coin in that retreat. So I want to talk about the purpose of the laying of hands, because I noticed that there are certain aspects we have not considered, and a lot of people are innocent Christians are getting into trouble. And I'm saying this by virtue of some of my interactions. So you can see from that scripture, it says, lay hands. This was an instruction to Timothy from his spiritual father. This was not a suggestion. And Paul said, do not lay your hands on any man suddenly. Now, how many of you noticed that, I think last Sunday we had a prophetic service in the second service. But how many of you, did I lay hands on anybody? I don't think so. So, you must know what is given per time and what is not. At the prophetic convocation, just as I was about to round up, I came down and I went to a lady sitting towards the right. I didn't know her, but I heard the Lord said, "You are free from today." I didn't even know she was. I know the brothers who were standing by her, but I didn't think they were related. So the brother came to me after the service, holding the hands of the lady and saying, "This is the daughter of," and she mentioned a very big industry, like a company, that growing up, we used to see their products everywhere. I will not mention the name, so, because I mean, people could be watching. But it's like saying someone is the daughter of Boa Cement, the owner of Boa Cement. The company is still in production, but if you're in the building industry, you will know them. Just the same way you will know Dangote, you will know that name, because it's a brand when it has to do with certain things. But I won't mention their name. So this, like the daughter who was in the meeting, she looked ordinary, just like a simple person to me. And then the brother came to me and said, "I brought her. She's 44. She's not married. And we've been praying. And she came specially for your session." But I didn't know her. But that was the only person I felt released to lay my hands on. And I told her, "Well, you are free." But I told her there are a few other items we need to address. So I spoke to her. The concept of laying of hands is not a thing of the flesh. It's very spiritual. And if you don't understand how significant or powerful physical contact is, you may not know why your life may be going upside down, even though you are praying. Do you remember that in the Old Testament, when the high priest is about to receive the animal for sacrifice, he would ask you to place your hand on the animal, right? And then you will confess your sins. The moment your hand comes on that animal and you speak, there is a transfer. The sin leaves you and goes into the animal. But you see, there had to be a physical contact. It's not, when I say laying of hands, I don't want you to think just laying hands on the head. I want you to think of any form of spiritual contact. Now, because many of us are not aware that we still have witches in this world. The person, that saloon you went to, the person who sat beside you is a witch. You understand? So, but you didn't know because you spent your time on Instagram, so it's okay. Whenever there's too much indulging of entertainment, your spiritual eye is what takes the heat, because you can't see on both sides. Now, all that thought where I said the person needs to lay his hands on the animal, confess his sins. Because when Jesus was going to the cross, the Romans laid their hands on him when they beat him. When they touched him and put a crown of thorns over his head, they made contact with him. While he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came for him, there was contact. It was not just casual. God permitted sinners to touch him. It was not just sinners in a generic way. Are you with me? The Pharisees were there. Those who have been trying so hard to take him out of the game, they were there. The Romans were there. Pointing to what? Jews and Gentiles. Are we together? Jews and what? Which means that because there was contact here, the Lord has now made it possible for also those of us who are Gentiles to come into the faith because we touched him. The matter of laying of hands is very profound, and many don't understand that this is a spiritual matter. So if you don't understand that this is a spiritual matter, you may be dealing with certain items and you keep saying, oh, Pastor, I prayed. Pastor, I fasted. Pastor, I did vigil. But the where you are, what is making contact with you is stronger than you. And that's why I always say to, and some of you may not like this, but I think as a pastor, if everybody likes you, then you are the problem. I say what I say now because I want to say something. If you visit the spa, I want you to know whoever touches, you are bringing yourself under the control of the person who is attending to you. Sorry, under the influence of the spirit that is in the life of the person that spends 45 minutes, 1 hour. And you can't, you have to submit yourself to that person for the person to touch you in the most intimate way. So, it's the same thing when you opt for tattoos and all of that. They can't touch you unless you permit them. You have to undress in front of them. You must become vulnerable in front of them. That is how spirits are transferred. There must be deliberate submission. So, if you want to go to the spa, is that person born again? The owner of that place. Because whoever has that space, his spirit, the spirit on him, will prevail there. So, I want to ask you, how many persons do you know who runs past that are born again? Huh? Completely born again, no? Because there are some business you cannot run completely. If you want to run it the way you are, you won't have customers. So you will agree with me that generally, most people who run spas are not Christians, or they are not born again, or they are not spirit filled or spirit controlled. So if you are someone that loves to be in that space, you have a market in the body of Christ. Are you with me? When I walk into a saloon and you are the barber is, maybe he has some music going on. The moment it's secular music, I will ask him, can you put it off while I'm here? Or should I look for her? Because I can't pay you to influence me with spirits. I can't. Well, the thing about spirits is that once there is permission, they don't care about your spiritual level. Once there is permission, whether deliberately or otherwise, they will come into your space. And laying of hands, physical contact is one of the areas many of us have dropped the ball. So the thing here is either you are so spiritually hot, on fire for God, to the point that whoever touches you is demobilized, or you stay away. Especially when you have to deal with, I think being able to carry out some basic massage is a requirement for marriage now. We should add it because you are just probably safe with your wife or your husband. I know the way that thing works. It must be the opposite gender. If you want it to work, yes. Am I wrong? My brother, I see the way people are talking, but they are not talking. But as Christians, you may go online on Instagram and you find so many people, you know, put a camera on their experience. Oh, I was at this spa. It's located at number 1 Benga Street, Lekki. Oh, such an experience. Then you have your smoothie beside you and all of that. They just dumped demons. No. Don't take my word for it. Look at that scripture. Put up that scripture. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of their sins. So those two statements are linked to. Even this particular context has to do with ministry. This particular one. That if, for instance, I lay hands on a person and he becomes a pastor, I can become a partaker of his sin by laying of hands. If that person goes ahead and does something bad, I'm part of it. That's the extent. In case you think it's about going to the spa, no. This is deeper. I don't know if you are still with me. That which means, and that's why when, you know, I started pastoring, the Lord made it very clear to me that I would have my heart broken in a million pieces. But God did not tell me. I now decided See, because there is spiritual sense. You know, if they, it's like it's time to shift to Samsung. I thought it wanted to agree with my revelation. So I decided that as a matter of principle, if there is anyone I have ever prayed for and I blessed and I laid my hands on, I will never curse you. It was a decision I made, just like the Lord saying to the Israelites in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you will not need to fight in this battle. But God didn't tell them to bring worshippers to the battleground. That was spiritual sense. God didn't ask them to bring praisers and worshippers. It was Jezekiah that just thought about that. God always inhabits the praise of his people. So if God says we don't need to fight, then we should be praising him, right? Spiritual sense. There are some things God will never fault you for, like praising him. You must know the cheat code. You must know the cheat code and know when to use it. Actually, deciding to go to the battleground with choir members is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, like, why? Do you want to kill these innocent people? What if God doesn't show up? But look at how God showed up. Eventually, you go into the battleground and all you are saying, our God is an awesome God, he reigns, with trumpets and tambourines and like, these people. You see, that's why I told you, it may be a song, but it's not worship. For it to be worship, it must come from the depth of your heart. And this may be a strategy somebody needs to hear this morning, because God made you a promise. Now, you now need to lift up the sacrifice of praise and worship before him consistently. Come on, say amen. Are you still here? Hallelujah. So before I talk to you about the blessings that go with the laying of hands, let me talk to you about why hands should not even be laid on you. Anyhow, I'm training you, I'm teaching you. You go into a meeting or another church or somewhere, you are visiting somewhere. There was a time, I think we had Holy Communion here. It was at the old church. And there was someone that was visiting us for the first time. And that was the day, we were having the Holy Communion. And the person declined to participate. And I respected it. I said, yes, this one has been taught. You are visiting a church for the first time. I'm not saying you can't partake if you are here. But you are getting to meet the pastor. I want to say something. But I don't know I don't know how much trouble I'll create. If a church belongs to God, but the pastor is a servant of Satan, that church is technically under the control of Satan. Until they remove that pastor. You don't agree? If you're a child of God, you are married to a man who has no regard for God, that home is under the government of Satan. So if you are going to get married and the first thing say, let's go out for a date, for what? Let me know who you are. I don't know which camp are you, which party do you belong to? Is it Jesus People's Party or the other one? Because they say my friend is coming from America and I need to know, where are you? Everything in life is about government. The laying of hands exercises government. It establishes whoever lays hands on you can speak over you. It's government. I respected the fact that person did not want to. And I said, yeah. If the person is not comfortable, you don't need to say, you must take Holy Communion. I don't know, maybe it was a Catholic church or somewhere. I don't know. I think many years in Lagos here. And they served the Holy Communion. I did not go out. I stayed there, I was speaking in tongues. But I had people who went with me and they went out. And it was fine for them. For me, I believe there are certain things that should be administered by my pastor. You didn't get it. There are certain religious rites. Only Jesus can administer the Holy Communion on his disciples. He didn't ask Allah any other person come inside. For those who just like bread, anywhere you see bread, you eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, your pastor, it was Jesus who administered the Holy Communion on his disciples. It's not as easy as that, though. It's not just bread. It is covenant. If you go into any of the churches that are affiliated with us, Fortress International Church, where Pastor Desmond is, or maybe prophetic streams, you know, why not? But if you walk into a space and they say today's service is for laying of hands, but you don't know anything about the pastor or the message did not resonate with you, you don't have to. That is what I'm telling you. Even if I was the one that you met that day, you don't have to. Because once hands are laid, spirits are transferred. So let's talk about two or three reasons why hands should not be laid on you carelessly. Number one, it can make you become a partaker of that person's sin. Rushing to lay hands on a person could make you share in the guilt should the person fall into sin. Number two, it can lead to unintended spiritual transfer. Unintended. Sometimes, the person that is laying hands may not be aware, even though a lot of times they are aware, of what they are giving to you. So you have to be careful. It can lead to unintended spiritual transfer. I hope you know that according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, are you still here? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, he said we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So if an occultic person, in the name of you are getting married, somebody in your family that everybody knows is not born again, and this is me, this is me, if you do not serve Jesus Christ, I will not kneel down in front of you and I will not allow you to lay hands on me. Even if you are the oldest person in my family, I will not. Because once the emotional lines are blurred, it's easy for demons to flow. And if peradventure you observe that there was no way you would have escaped it, once you are done, better if you have not deleted my number, pastor, there was no way I would have. Ibolowa, where are you? Start coming. So you have to be selective. You said you want to get married. I hope you know it's not the man you married. You married his family. Because you are changing your name from Alabi. Who is Alabi here? Huh? Ah. I wanted to mention another name, but I hope you won't think that's the name of your husband. If I mention Komolafe, what do you think? Okay, well, that's what came to my heart. Sometimes I tap into that grace. I'll just mention names and I'll say, so just write that name down in case. There might be a K somewhere. Even when you say you are in a relationship with someone or you get into a new office, out of nowhere, this random person, you're just going, oh, I love you. I'm not joking. Because somebody's laughing away what I'm saying. I said, don't. Even when I used to go to the saloon to fry my hair, I don't allow people. After staying hours under the saloon, like, you know, the way Michael Jackson said, that's why up till now I don't have hair. My hair used to be quite. The thing burnt to ashes. Don't be careless. There are people that can lay hands on you. Number one, your pastor. Number two, your parents. All these uncles from wherever. I don't know about them. Huh? I said all these uncles. Anything apart from your pastor that you have certified, though, and not that you are, you say you are in Kano. Your pastor is in Port Harcourt. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the pastor of your church. Your own pastor. Are you with me? Then your parents. Especially when people say they are getting married, they will now be running up and down. Some of those in-laws that will say, do you know me? They'll be asking the groom to be, do you know me? He said, no. He said, I am the, you see that girl, her father is my, his own father is my brother. So they are trying to tell you that, and then that your own father is his own junior brother, that I am more of a father than even your own father, than your own grandfather. So what they are telling is that, submit yourself. I will not submit, sir. When I travel to Ibadan to see my family members, and I don't, sometimes, let me just allow these people go. You know, you know, the moment people compel me to submit, I become spiritually, like, what's going on here? You are not in my space. I've not seen you since my father died. You've been living your life. I've been living my life. Now you see me in all this glory and blessing. You are talking, sir. You didn't even recognize me again. I told you my name. As you prostrate, I said, no, I can't do that. I told them, I saw all of them, about 10 of them. I said, no, I can't. I said, why? And I asked them, I said, why? I said, if I prostrate, there will be judgment here immediately. I said, though, there's already judgment, oh, so one of them has died now. You must know your priesthood. There are certain things your priesthood doesn't permit. When a man becomes a king in Yoruba land, he doesn't prostrate. Oh. So when you are with your parents alone in the room, you prostrate. But when you come out, even your mom must, or your dad must not see your face. Because if they do, they must prostrate. So they will stay away. That's the culture. So if my own Yoruba people know that about authority and structure, then so you see someone for the first time in your office, you have no business with this person, and the first thing the person says, oh, your heir. If she tells you, kneel down, let me lay my hands on you, you will suspect. So she make it look like, oh, it's your heir. Meanwhile, you, no prayer life. You will not go home and start battling with migraine and whatever. It's just a touch that is needed. You have to be spiritually sensitive. Know the people. Let your children know there are people that can touch you and there are people that cannot touch you. Tell them. It's not the only thing we tell our children is that don't sit on any uncle's laps. Is that not what we tell them? You didn't tell them that the laps are not the only issue. Physical contact. Even when I hold babies, I don't lay hands on them except instructed. Not to talk of someone that has his hands in one clay pot for 7 days. Now, another reason why hands should not be laid carelessly is because it can validate someone that God has not approved. The moment Samuel laid hands on Saul, he became king. Even though the real king was supposed to be David. But the moment Samuel laid his hands on whoever Samuel touched, that's the king. So even something might not even be the will of God. But if a pastor lays hands, that person, oh, Lord, yeah, that's it. Because when a pastor lays hands on someone that may not even be God's interest, you have given public endorsement. Laying of hands is public endorsement. Even Jesus had to be laid hands on before he started his ministry by John. Because if he was going to baptize him, he would have to put his hand over his head and dip him into the water. So it was public endorsement. If God has called the pastor to the ministry, but maybe the wife is not called as a pastor, and because he's the pastor's wife, the pastor uses authority and made the wife a pastor. Instead of leaving her to be doing what she's doing, you say she must be a pastor. And it's possible for your wife not to be a pastor, as a pastor. Hello? That you are a pastor doesn't mean she must be a pastor. She may be a fashion designer. She may be a programmer. She may just have her own thing. She may just be a child of God. Leave her there. If not, one day you give her a mic, she'll start saying, all of you that did not come for workers' meeting, stand up. You are behaving like goat. People say, hey, mommy, don't talk. Hey, yummy, Mike. It's too late. Everybody has said it. I have told you, in this church, we are going to heaven. We are serious. Pastor did not come to church that day. He went to preach in Gbagada. Before he comes back, church has scattered. You should have just left that woman where she is. Oh. I'm telling you what these eyes have seen. Eh? You just let her. Did she just say that? Another reason why you may not want hands laid on you anyhow. It can bring judgment or consequences. It can bring judgment. Judgment that you have no business with. You can become a part of it. Remember I told you that it's not about laying off hands on the head alone, but contact. When that contact is done spiritually, you can be brought into fellowship or union with something that you have no business with. So you have to be careful. Don't partake in other people's sin. Your own sin is enough. Let me give you one more by this. This is just an aside. When the wrong hands are laid on the person, it can violate the person's spiritual discernment. If you are someone that works in revelation, somebody who does not work in revelation lays hands on you, can shut you down. Because you gave the person permission to do what he's doing quickly. Purposes, biblical purposes for the laying of hands. Number one, for impartation of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in Acts chapter 8 verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 8 and verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So when hands from a godly person are laid on a Christian, there should be an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Even if, for instance, you are already filled with the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift or divine enablement can flow from that person to you. When I think when I first moved to Lagos, one of the experiences I noticed, I stumbled on it, then I made a very strong observation that everyone who lived with us, let me say 90% of everyone who came to live with us, started hearing God more often. So I noticed that. Because my own atmosphere generally is prophecy. So I can watch a movie and I'll be hearing God. It's just the way I'm wired. I can watch a movie and somebody in the movie is Dorcas, and the Lord will tell him, tomorrow you will meet someone who is Dorcas. This is what you should tell the person. I've seen people who said, I'm trying to seek the face of God. Nothing is really happening. I want to come to the house. And when they came to the house, thinking that they were coming for counseling, they slept one night and God started speaking to them. They didn't need me again. They simply joined me in the parlor and watched Netflix. So people go around in atmospheres. So when someone lays his hands on you, the person transfers his atmosphere, is the impartation upon him. He can transfer it. For instance, if you are seeking the Lord, let's assume that this matter of hearing God is not your strong, it's not one of your strong areas. Can you hear me at the back? Can you still hear me at the back? Let's assume that this is not one of the areas that you are very strong in, but you want to go on a particular retreat, you want to fast and see God's face for like 7 days, and you feel that I really need to hear God. You can come and say, Pastor, I want to go. And then temporarily for 7 days, what I have, I'll transfer it to you. So after 7 days, God, you did not pay. It's free. So, but I'm just saying that there can be temporal enablement. What do I mean by that? It's just like Samuel laid his hands on Saul. Saul began to prophesy. Then Saul rebelled. But at some point, Saul was in pursuit of David. Then he got into he pursued him into a particular location where there were priests, spiritual company of people were there, and he began to prophesy again. So there's what we call atmospheric anointing. You come into the presence or into the community where there are intercessors, you notice you start praying more. You know? So sometimes if you have a friend that is gifted in a particular area, praying with that person can even enhance your result. Who you pray with matters. I don't recommend... Okay, I say this one with caution. And don't take it out of context. Because some people only specialize in hearing upside. They are not even here, Sha. They are not here today. I do not recommend praying more. I don't want someone to misunderstand me. I do not recommend, if both of us are trusting God to be married, we should not pray together. Okay, let me put it this way. If I'm going to pray 10 times, I should not pray 8 times with somebody with my kind of problem. I can pray with you 4 times. You see the remaining 6. I will go to people who have what I already. And say, Pastor Bala, I heard your testimony. Please pray for me. You see that one? Even if Bala is on a plate of amala. You see? Because he's praying from his staff. There is a staff of authority that God gave him by virtue of his experiences. And this is what most people are trying to avoid. They want a breakthrough without process. And when you have a breakthrough without process, it means you cannot replicate it. You see, but when you go through the process and God finally lifts you up, there is a staff of authority you have in that area. Are you with me? So you can say, Lord, as you visited me and gave me a child, Lord, visit her. That is your authority. That is your staff. I'm not saying you cannot pray with people who have similar. I'm just saying don't do it too much. Because sometimes you will be praying, both of us will start crying. And it's okay to cry, but we are not here to cry. We are here because we want solution. And you might even be better off praying by yourself. Because at some point, Anna had to start praying by herself. If she had gone with her husband, "Father, we are here. Father, bless us. We love you. We came with our sacrifice." But in the man's mind, he already thinks the woman is more than 10,000 sons. You remember that story? In his mind. So even though they both knelt at the altar, "Oh Lord, we are here again, year after year." The woman is not even conscious of the fact that the man doesn't care if she has a child or not. So are you not even better off on your own? If you are not gifted in the prophetic, you can program yourself to be successful. Because you don't know you don't know the mind of. So when we answer laid on us, one of the blessings or the purposes of this is that what? We can be imparted with the Holy Spirit. Number two, for healing. The scripture says that in Mark chapter 16 verse 18, it says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Can I ask you a question? And this is an aside. How do you know if someone in your house is being demonically oppressed? Does anyone have the answer? Because this is a prophetic church, you should know these things. Sir, please talk to me. Please give him a mic very quickly. Let's quickly do this before I step down. Are you blessed this morning?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When someone has a sickness that is not common in the family.
That's one. Consistent illnesses. Yes. One more. Depression. Two. Please, Pastor John, at the back. Also, if you can quickly speak up, let me echo it for you. Okay, you may need to give him the mic. Quickly, yeah.
Okay, so one of the things I used to know, someone is demonically oppressed, is I look at the circumstances, the dimensions of the circumstances that person is going through. Firstly, when the incident is something that is peculiar, you understand? And when you look at the follow-up incidents, and the other incidents and other things, you know that...
Like when there's a pattern.
There's a pattern, and it's not consistent. Mm.
So that's three. Yes, Busayo, quickly. Acting out of character. You have someone that is usually very happy. All of a sudden, emotional, cranky. Please, when we talk about oppression, I'm not talking about demonic possession. That's different. Acting out of character in a very weird way. Do we have any other hand? Please talk to me.
Okay, most times, if it's in the house, I will know maybe my dad, my mom, they're just giving me the same complaint at the same time. And that at the office too, I'm also facing the same thing. I just know there's something.
So what she's saying is that something is coming up consistently and there is no reason for that kind of feedback to be coming. For instance, somebody has a degree, has done the same YC, and for whatever reason, locks himself in the room and doesn't want to apply for a job. And no matter what anyone says to him, it's as if the thing passes through one ear, comes out. Do you know there are people that, and this one is not even possession, but it's a character defect. They hear you from what is in their mind. So maybe we need to run some psychological test. Pastor Tokwe and Pastor Barra, they are the psychologists. Because we need to know. Sometimes you may not know why people are no longer talking to you. You may not know why you are coming out of favor. I don't know why I'm even talking about it. Maybe someone needs to hear this. But someone is trying to advise you or tell you something. But you are hearing the person from your bias. So you might even find that you become argumentative for no reason. Some will not even talk. They will not talk. But in your mind, you have wasted your time. Anyway, I said all of this because of the laying of hands for healing. Which means that not only can you carry out physical healing, you can carry out emotional healing by laying of hands. So most times we only think of healing for physical ailments. I'm saying if your husband is doing something that only God understands, let him go to bed. Tie your head scarf the way we used to do it. You know, yeah, now you people did not cover your head. But for him to know you are serious, you will kneel down by the bed, tie your scarf, remove your earrings, then hold his hand. You know, he's sleeping. So even when he wakes up, the shame will not allow him to say, what are you doing? He will just freeze. He will freeze there. He's first of all confused, like, what is this? But he cannot say, stop the prayer. So I'm teaching you but you see, you just... My wife wants to use it on me. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the reason why people don't respect us, they don't think we are serious. After this service, go and buy a head scarf. Buy a head scarf, buy a tambourine, small one. Then in the middle of the night, hold his hand. Father, I command every spirit tormenting your son. You know, the moment he wakes up, the shock, somebody thinks I'm possessed. So, but when he sees your scarf, the way you and the, how loaded and guarded you are, he will just say, amen, amen, amen. By the time the day breaks, shame will not even permit him to say, sorry, what was that about? He will say, oh boy, it's better I go and change. If this thing happens a second time, it won't be good. So just go and change. Tomorrow, pick your CV. Roam through Ikorodu Road. Somebody somewhere will say, give us the CV. Because as you are sitting in this house, it's not good. It's not good. Daddy said it, mommy said it, I said it, and you still, no. There's oppression here. Demonic oppression. So it's in the night. We are going to say, and our parents used to do that thing. Uh-huh. You from their rooms, you'll be hearing their voice mentioning your name. Is my situation so bad? Number three, purpose of I don't know, I've diverted a lot, but I think somebody needed to hear this. Number three, we lay hands to ordain and commission in Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3. Number two is for healing. Number three, for commissioning and ordination. So right now I'm very jealous about laying of hands, because I need, now that I'm seeing the weight of the matter, I can't just lay hands for nothing. I've laid hands on people and the demon came out of them and there was a stench in my hands. I commanded an unclean spirit out and there was a terrible stench in my hand. The hand that I laid. So sometimes you'll see me after I pray, I will go into my restroom and wash my hand. Sometimes it's not the devil, it's just the oil in your hair. And I don't. That one is not the devil, though. It's the thing you put on there. Which is also important. If not, we will not look at your face. You have to use that other one. Because somebody going to say in that church, they say we should not be using cream. Hey, that if I catch you, I did not say that one, no. Number four, we lay hands for blessing. Every time hands are laid, please pay attention to the words that are coming. Hands are laid in the church in order to bless you. Sometimes it's okay if it's your pastor. You can say, pastor, don't just pray, lay hands. It's your constitutional right. The same way, I also do the same if I'm involved with Pastor Ayo or some established fathers in the faith. Huh? There was a man of God I went to visit, the spiritual father over Ondo State and Ekiti State. When I was going, I saw the way people were coming and going. And he was the one giving them money. But me, I came from Lagos, and I have a very nice way of doing my thing. I will call Taiwo, or some of us who are in the bank, and order for mint. So even if I'm giving you 100,000 or 200,000, it must be mint. So depending on my mood, I may say package it as 200 or 50, so it will look like it's much or something. I'll just do something. So, my time is up here. The moment I took the brown envelope and I said, Daddy, he has prayed though. He has already prayed for me. The moment I said, Daddy, this is for you. He looked at me. He opened it. He said, kneel down. Now lay his hands. This one requires laying of hands. Say laying of hands. Because I said, I don't know why that pastor doesn't like laying hands. So I'm telling you why now. Ori kini eba oni kin kule. He saw it. Since morning. And people come here. You, this one for your family. This one for your child. This one from Lagos. Say, kneel down. Kneel down. And I quickly. In my mind, I was saying, I receive everything. All the anointing. All the power. All the. I wasn't saying amen. I was collecting. As I was going to say, imagine or see me. That's what he said to me. Say, don't be far from me. Everybody likes a good child. What are you talking about? Some people, when you see their call, nice, what's this one calling for again? But hallelujah. Yeah. So when we lay, you see that one, he now blessed me. Are you with me? He now blessed me. Gave me his books. Gave me his books. I did not buy it. Number five, finally. We lay hands for impartation of spiritual gifts. Whatever the Lord has blessed me with, is for the benefit of the Harvest World Assembly members. So if there's a gift you see in my life that you appreciate, go and fast and pray 7 days. Come, I'll lay my hands on you. You get a measure. Yes. But you must know the condition for the gift too. I will tell you that one. This gift doesn't eat pepper. It doesn't eat salt. It doesn't eat fish. Can you fulfill this condition? Because now you're happy. You're falling under anointing. Someone saw me somewhere recently and said, I don't know what to do. And I said, no, I don't eat fish. I'm not eating fish in over 35 years. The person felt sorry for me. He said, are you okay? I said, kilo shele. What's wrong with this one? The person was like, why? I said, is he your fish? I said, I don't. Is he your fish? Eat your fish. Leave me alone. I like cow head and all those things. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, and this is where we wrap it up for this first service. Are you blessed this morning? Chapter 1 verse 6. Say, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by what? By the putting on of my hands. So wherever you find, please let's rise up on our feet. Wherever you find this type of experience, especially when your hands are being laid on you by an anointed person, you can receive the transfer of gift. Paul also mentioned in Romans chapter 1, he said, I long to come to you that I might what? Impart you with what? Spiritual gifts. All right? And maybe one of these days we'll have a service that will be called the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. So that day we'll come fasting. I was in Genesis 1 when Brother Bidemi laid hands on me and confirmed that I will be called to the ministry. JSS 1. I didn't even know what I was doing with my life. Pray in tongues for 1 minute if you can. Pray in tongues and internalize the words you have heard. Pray in tongues. Robesefando lo soteke yekede se pala Robolotso kete kabara male sutande Robo shifele ne kasitala na katiba raba rabosote Ko rabele ne kono to sitaya dabali sitaya Prosofetele ne kene kono kusipale kene Robolo shitele kene kuzatala Robele fesutala ne kasabayando lo sutaya Shahase kana katale yamre gede legede ko zata kataya robele ne kete kato so pataya la tesikana robe hesefeto no tele yebrande kala no katolo supa. Pray in the spirit and internalize these things. Shala de sakamiano tolika barasatala robele kete kete posu hatala ne sataya Rebele kuno sitaya lebre dekede kokotopa sala yele gana koraba lekana yeke meroso tofedia zate lekede matola barate le kuno kisaida shanda legada barase kedele suparane kedele sutaya.
All I want is for you. You to be glorified, for you to be lifted up. All I want is for you.